If you're familiar with the song, I want to read the bridge of the song. If you're familiar with it, I will be using an edit that I heard Andrew use in concert once. They say God blessed us with plenty. Well, I say you're blessed with less than me. Because you never stop to wonder whether earth is just a little better than the land of the free. That is a challenge to me to remember. Just remember what the reality is, that this is not my home, that there's something much better to come. And I just want to leave you with one of my favorite passages. It always gets me kind of fired up. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I'm looking forward to that. Arthur asked for prayer requests from Haiti. So I sent a message to Lysnaire this morning, and he said the most pressing thing to pray about is just peace for the country. There is still a lot of turmoil and violence. And while that most of that is in Port-au-Prince, it affects the rest of the country too, in high prices and difficulty to get goods. So that is the pressing thing to pray about there. Thank you.
Thank you. And so we can add to that the mission of Share Haiti, the goals that you have and what you long to see happen. So,
good evening. I am going to share a brief slideshow just to give you a bit of a picture of what is going on in Haiti. Kind of the big project we have, I say project, the big thing we have going right now is the school. And I think it's 6 years ago that we started the school. And we started with three kindergarten classes. They start at 3, 4, and 5. So I think the first class is basically babysitting, probably. And then we have added a grade every year. So we're up to 5th grade this year, and we have approximately 320 students, 20 teachers, and then 10 support personnel. So the first slide here shows the grounds. The main road is down here at the bottom, and then they have a nice little entrance there, and a little pavilion that the parents can wait at when they're picking up their children and probably when they're bringing them in the morning. I should start a little bit with what was the first building. If you look up at the top in the middle where it says grade school building, I don't know if you can read that or not, but that was the first building, although it was added on to in a second phase. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And then we've added things since. And the cafeteria and also what doubles as a church building is over here on the right. And the grade school office there in the middle. And then kindergarten building up toward the to your left center. And then the kindergarten office on that side as well. So that's kind of a look at the school grounds. I don't even know. About 5 acres? Okay. There is a shot of the entrance, and if you look in the background there, there's a beautiful blue ocean back there. So it is a really pretty place, although it is far enough and it's rugged enough that you can't just easily get to the ocean by walking out back. I don't know how far it is, if it's a mile or so maybe, but it's pretty rugged terrain. That, as I mentioned, is a cafeteria. I'm going to go through and just kind of show some closer up shots of some of the buildings. The cafeteria, and then also they have church there. There's that initial building that is the grade school. And then the kindergarten. This is the latest addition, I believe, the kindergarten part. And this is a close-up shot. If you notice, there are metal rebar sticking up out of there, and that's what they do when they want to make their second story. And that actually is one of the next projects that we want to do. They're in pretty dire need of a place to meet with the whole school. I'll show you a slide a little bit what they do in the temporary. Just another shot of that. Now I just have a few pictures of kind of school stuff going on here. These are teachers getting ready for the school year and getting projects ready. This shot here, Lee Snare sent to me and had a caption under it. He said something about lack of fuel doesn't stop them from having school. I don't remember how he said it exactly, but I know a lot of you will drive your children to school, might even drive a little ways, but how many of you carry your children to school on your back and probably maybe as far as some of us drive? So that's what's happening there. Children are headed to school on the backs of their parents. There's also some children that do get picked up and brought into school that are quite a ways away. This next shot is a I believe it's the beginning of the school day. Wrong shot here. Beginning of the school day, and I believe, I should have asked Lisa for sure, but I think they're probably singing the national anthem and then they have a prayer. It's a very short clip of part of it, but it kind of pans out and shows the group of students here at the beginning of school. This young gal is a second grader, and I have a very short clip of her reading some scripture here. If you look at this slide, you can't see much of it, but this is kind of their temporary auditorium. And the next slide will show a little bit more. It's of them singing. And this event was a spelling bee, I believe, this year. Transitioning into the song and
je suis sacré dans le danger, elle est toujours là pour m'enseigner.
So they are indeed in need of an auditorium. That is actually one of our hopefully are one of our next projects that we want to get started here shortly. School staff just taking care of a injured child. And once again, school staff, I think it's actually teachers and some of the kitchen staff preparing lunch. They get one meal a day there and helping one of the children eat. One of the really neat projects that's going on is a gardening project that they have been doing with the children. Not only does it provide good food for them to eat, it teaches them how to garden well. And so here's a picture of the children planting. Another shot of them planting some corn, tomatoes, some of the fruits from those tomatoes. And I believe this was the cabbage here, and then some pretty good size produce there too. And then just a nice little shot of some of the fruits of their labors. Like I mentioned, the church is held there at the school grounds. It's been about almost 2 years now that they started meeting and having church here. So it's a fairly new part of the mission there. A lot of children. And one of these shots, I think it's this one here, is a youth seminar, I believe. In the past, we've sent people down, and this here is, I believe this is Eris. I'll just stick with his first name because I struggle pronouncing the second name. But I think he's taking part in a youth seminar here, trying to get good teaching for the youth there. Here's another shot. As a mission is get people from here involved down there. As was mentioned, there is a lot of violence in the country. In fact, it's bad enough that this is now basically our mode of transportation from Port-au-Prince to either Kai's or I think Lisa Nair said this was the Fond du Bois, a place that's out away, closer to Côte d'Ivoire. And Kai's is actually a pretty good-sized city, but not nearly influenced by the violence that that Port-au-Prince has. So here's a picture of Dorothea heading back to the States and using this instead of the vehicle that we used to take. And like I said, I feel it's really important to get people down there. Not only, I don't think it's as much to help do the work, which is often what we do, and I think there's been good teaching that's come from here, but a lot of it is just to broaden our horizons, to give people the opportunity to see what other people live with and how they live and be an encouragement to them. So these next couple shots are, we actually just had a group from Kentucky, some Amish youth that went from Kentucky, and then John Nolt and his family went as well. So I think I've got a few pictures of that. That's this group here with Lee Snare and Dorothea. The Haitians love hanging out with anybody that comes down there. And here's a group of boys with the group that was there. Another picture that they had some fun with, I think it looks like they're lined up kind of by height. They're just having a good time. So one of the things they're working on when they're down there is, that's the guest house there in the background. The bars that we had on there have rusted out pretty badly, and so they cut out the bad spots and were welding new spots in, or a lot of new metal, and then putting new screen mesh. So I'll just fairly quickly flip through some of the shots of what they were doing. There you can see where they had cut it out up there toward the top. Got a young Haitian boy helping out too. Now the metal is in and they're prepping it for paint there. Got some primer on it. And that's an inside shot. It's kind of hard to see, but that is newly, freshly painted bars on the house. Here's a shot of before. Like I said, it's really hard to see, but if you look at the building, you can see the rust stains down at the bottom. And now in this shot, it's all cleanly painted, the building as well. So they did a lot of good work helping us out there with that. Another thing that we've done, in fact, it's kind of how the mission started, is building houses for people. And in Haiti, there's a lot of poverty, a lot of poor living conditions. But Lee Snare usually tries to find some of the worst places that need the most help. And here are about three pictures of what people are living in. So what we do then is we try to figure out a way to have them be involved in this. And so we have, when we do build houses, we have kind of a group that typically try to have a group of houses that are being built together. And they kind of start all together, dig the footer, and they try to get people involved as much as they can. I think they, correct me if I'm wrong, some of the other board members, but I think they do a lot of the prep work. And then a mason will do a lot of the laying of a very simple house. But it is obviously quite a lot better than what they had before. So there you see some of the progress. Oftentimes when we've gone down with groups, the house is pretty much all done by native people, except for often the blas, as the whites are called down there, will do the roof structure and put the metal on. And there is a family with a new home. So that's a pretty quick look at what some of the things are that are happening down there. And as we go on through the rest of the evening, some of the people probably will elaborate on some of these things some more. So thank you.
Well, good evening. I want to greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. I want to just especially thank you for this opportunity to come and share about Share Haiti. So what I'll be talking about this evening is the school and sponsorship opportunities for the children at the school. So I want to share a short Bible verse, and I don't have it word for word, but it's something along the lines of, if you are going down the street and you see someone in need, whether it's food, clothing, whatever it might be, and you tell them, "Bless you, brother, I will pray for you," and you go on your way, you have not helped that individual. But it says, if you stop and help them, then you have helped them. It says, not only should we pray for them, but we should help them physically and spiritually. That's a huge thing that we do at the school. And Nate shared a little bit about the school. I talked with Lee Snare today a little bit about some numbers and things. So I want to start with some numbers. He said 320 students. It's actually a couple less. We have 311 students currently there. We have 39 staff, and that includes teachers and support staff. And There's exciting things going on at the school. We're very excited about what we have going on. And currently, our next year's first kindergarten class, which is three-year-olds, is filled up. We have 42 students enrolled, and those students were enrolled in about 3 weeks. There's no advertising, but something that Lee Snare shared with me is our school has a very good reputation. There's a lot of people moving out from Port-au-Prince, so there's a large demand for the school, which does present a challenge of telling people no. And unfortunately, we have to tell some people no. But he says the community says that the mission school is the best one in the community, which is what we're striving for, not for our glory, but to give them, number one, a good education, to meet their needs physically, but also spiritually. So something that happens throughout the day at the school, the teachers meet in the morning before school, have devotions together, and then the students also have devotions with their teachers. So not only are they being taught reading, writing, arithmetic, but they're being taught spiritually. And many of these children do not get that at home. So it's very, very important. It's a very big part of their spiritual growth to get that at school. And one thing that has grown out of what they're getting at school is the church. We saw about 3 or 4 years in that there is a need for solid Bible teaching in the community. Lee Snare came to us and he said, "We're teaching these kids truths from the Bible, and they don't have anywhere to go for Sunday worship that is teaching the truths that we're teaching them at school." So he said, sometimes they'll go to a church on Sunday and they'll hear something completely different than what they're hearing at school. And it's confusing. So the church kind of grew out of that spiritual growth from the school, which is very fun to see. One thing that is very, very important that we stressed from the start was each of these students gets a hot meal every day at school. And for a lot of these children, that's the only meal that they get that day. Oftentimes, they'll come to school and they'll have a bit of a stomach ache, and so they get a bit of a snack to get them over till lunchtime. They eat lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning because noon is too long to wait for most of these kids. And I see a lot of little kids here, and you guys know how little kids get when they're hungry. They can't learn. So often they'll get some crackers and maybe a little bit of juice or something like that, and it gets them through till lunch. Something else that we're doing is they're doing tutoring in the afternoon. So there's about 100 students that come back for tutoring from 3 to 5. So it's 2 hours, and that's 3 days a week. And those students also get fed when they come back for that. So those 100 students are getting 2 meals every day. I don't know how many of you guys have ever gone to your fridge and not found food. These kids can't go home and get a snack out of the fridge or a snack out of a cupboard. They don't have fridges, and most of the time their cupboards are empty. They might get a little pack of crackers for a snack. So that's a huge physical need that we're filling for these children at school, is we're feeding them a hot meal every day. So Nate shared some pictures about the garden. So that not only teaches them how to grow things, how to take care of a garden, but that produce all goes back into the school to feed the children. And so that's huge for us. It helps with the cost, and it gives them good, healthy vegetables to eat. And believe me, those kids are glad to eat vegetables. They'll eat about anything, as long as it's food. The other thing that I want to talk about a little bit is how the school works. So Nate shared, we started 6 years ago. We started with the kindergarten grades, which is 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And you might wonder, well, why are 3-year-olds going to school? Their family structure is way different than ours. So when these 3-year-olds come to school, they're learning things that we teach our kids at home. how to personal hygiene, how to just take care of themselves. They don't learn that at home. Some of them don't, you know, their parents aren't there. Some of them live with their grandparents. Some of them, they're just kind of on their own. And so they're learning basic life skills at school. And that's one of the reasons we have so much staff. So most of our classes are around 30 to 40 students. Each classroom has two teachers. And then there's also some staff that helps the kids go to the bathroom and just helps them with general things like that. So like I said, next year we have 42 three-year-olds that are enrolled. And Lee Snyder, to kind of help with the demand, he has had them pay for part of the tuition next year, this year. In order to get their children enrolled, they do have to pay a little bit of the tuition for next year. But even with that, we had those kids enrolled in 3 weeks, which is very, very quick. So I want to touch a little bit on our child sponsorship program. It is a great way to support Share Haiti throughout the year. You guys support us at the fundraiser, and we appreciate that. We need every bit that we get from the fundraiser. The money that we get from the sponsorship program goes directly to the school. It helps with day-to-day operations there. And it also makes it cheaper for the parents to send their kids to school. Now, one thing that we don't do, if a child is sponsored, their schooling is not free. And the reason for that is because if you give them something, they tend to take it for granted and not take it very seriously. So if they pay $25, $30 a year, for them that's a lot of money. That's a big investment, and they take it seriously. Their kids are there every day, and they're learning, and they're trying to get to the next grade because they have invested something. However, if we do sponsor the children, it is a lot cheaper, and you can make a difference in a child's life. Currently, we have around 125 of those 311 students. Next year to be 350 students sponsored. So what they pay in tuition doesn't cover their whole expense. Share Haiti pays for the rest. So if you sponsor a child, you not only help that child, but you also help Share Haiti serve as many children as we can. And that's huge. So it's $250 a year to sponsor a child. And if you break that down by day, it's 68 cents a day. Now, I have a question for you. How many of us buy a cup of coffee or a soft drink every day? That costs more than 68 cents a day. So my question for you is, can you spare 68 cents a day to help a child in Haiti, to make a difference, not only physically, but very possibly for eternity? We have these sponsorship forms, and they're back by the display. If you want to sponsor a kid, take a form. If you're thinking about it, take a form. They're just plain paper. They don't cost us much, so you can take as many forms as you want. Fill out your information, send it to the address on there, and we will send you a picture as soon as we can. We do try to update the pictures as often as we can, with not being able to get people over there as often as we would like. It is a little more difficult to get pictures back and forth of the children as they progress through school, but we try to do the best that we can. I want to close by reading the verse that is on the sponsorship forms. It says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me." Matthew 25, 35, and 36. And it finishes out with that, "As you have done to the least of these, so have you done unto me." With helping these children in Haiti, we're helping the least of these. And in doing that, we're doing that for Jesus. And ultimately, that's our goal, is to give these people, we can maybe make their life a little bit better here on earth, but we can make it a lot better for them in eternity. And that's our ultimate goal in Haiti, is to make their life better. So I will turn the time over to Rod. Actually, go ahead. Is there a question?
Yeah, I just wondered if the sponsorship
is $250, is that the total cost for a student for a year, or is there more cost? You were saying that it costs like $300 a year for a child? I'm not 100% sure what the exact cost is. I don't think the $250 covers the whole cost per student, but it does help. And through the other funds that Share Haiti receives, we cover the rest. So thank you for your time, and I will turn the time over to Rod.
Good evening. I'm going to be sharing about new projects happening, and they touched on several of them. But first of all, I'd like to thank you for your help. I remember, I don't know how many years ago, one of the first programs we had here as a school program, seeing your map over there. And I noticed this evening it's kind of covered up. But there's a lot of spots that I'm sure you as a church could send money. And I just want to say we're thankful for each of you that have supported the auction, have put things on the auction, have bought things at the auction, or if you gave money otherwise, that's great. Because this work is not about the board, or it's bigger than us. I go down there and I see the opportunities, and you just want to help so many people, you know. So it's bigger than just us. I'm thankful for how God led each one of you to give to Share Haiti. And I think it's special. I know you shouldn't rate what happens in mission work, but for me personally, it's really exciting to see children being taught, because we don't see the long-reaching effects of that. Don't get me wrong, I don't feel like it's better than anything else, but for me, it blesses me to see these children receiving an education. And if you're involved with caring for the elderly in another country, that is great. So first of all, this year, we're looking at the auditorium, building walls on top of that kindergarten building. I think it'll be mostly closed. They'll have probably like some type of either a slant window or an open block up top so the wind can move through. It'll be used for parents' meetings and church services, bigger events like funerals and weddings. So that's kind of been covered. The next thing probably coming up would be lodging for teachers. Over half of the staff comes from Kais, which is, I don't know how many miles. It's about close to a two and a half to three-hour drive with the pickup, so I don't know if it's quite even 100 miles probably, but I don't know, something like that. So a lot of these teachers move into the area for the school term. And we're trying to rent houses, but it's very difficult. They handle renting a little differently there. It seems like the ownership of houses is kind of, you inherit the property, and so like upkeep is pretty poor. And so when you rent something, you actually almost have to do the upkeep, and then it's usable, you know. So lodging for teachers would be the next thing after the auditorium. And so we'll probably move that off the grounds there. mostly so that teachers, I don't know what word to use, if they're at school there all day, they're intermingling with other teachers all day, and they come back to church there, it can burn them out, I guess, might be a word. So we're looking at moving that teacher housing off the premises there. And we're looking at building houses where about four teachers could live together, and not just create a big auditorium or a big, all I can think of is Bible school, but create a big sleep. Yeah. Just build houses for four teachers so that they can have their privacy. Looking ahead a little further, Lee Snare's goal would be in 2027 to start a high school, and he's projecting we would also move that to another place or another some other land. So that, I don't know how that'll look. Their high school is a little different, I think. It might start at 7th or 8th, yeah. Maybe 8th graders are considered high school and go through 11th. But I'm not sure that it's going to be totally a high school. It might be more of like a, not career school, but more where they teach a trade school. There we go. His vision would be to teach sewing for the women, woodworking for the men, just help them learn a trade. And then an ongoing thing, and this is probably more as funds are available, would be the houses for needy families. That is something that is just ongoing. You saw the pictures, how there's houses that are tarps and sticks and a few stones propped up. So that's kind of as the funds are available. That seems a little difficult because it's always a grapple of where do we spend the money. The school is taking a lot of funds, but it is good to also help the community too. So I think that's all I have. Does anyone have any questions on any of those projects? So that has varied a lot. Some of the others might be able to give a better number. I believe early on it was somewhere like 4,000 or 5,000. The last houses that we built were 9, I believe about 9,000. So, and I'm not sure, they might have got smaller too, just because of the materials have went up that drastically. So. I think they're about 15 feet by 30 feet, I believe, something like that. Yeah, 30 or 35. So that gives you an idea. And that doesn't even include a kitchen usually. I mean, usually that's just a two-room house, I think. So, yeah. Well, thanks for your attention. I think Vern will wrap it up for us.
Good evening. I wait for the old man to be last. So if you notice, a fairly highly energetic board, kind of fun to work with, a lot of good ideas. So I enjoy this kind of work, and it's kind of opened my eyes a little bit. I'm a little older, but always had kind of a heart for helping out somebody else with different backgrounds, and this certainly gives us an opportunity to experience that. Just a little bit of back of what they were sharing on the meals. Just the meals itself sometimes is astounding to me. We serve about 350 meals a day, 5 days a week, which is 750 meals a week, and 7,000 a month. And it's just kind of that putting it that way, kind of, it's just astounding how many meals we actually serve. It takes a lot of food, a lot of rice, a lot of beans, and that's why this agricultural program really helps us and give them some good, healthy vegetables to eat as well. I thought it'd be of interest, you know, you're north of tracks, we're south of tracks. Sometimes we don't know what goes on north of the tracks, and maybe you don't always know what happens south of the tracks, but this mission somewhat was established actually through Prayer Chapel in 2008, I think Prayer Chapel Church, and maybe, Mervin, you were one of the guys going along, and Rod, in 2008, you went to Haiti. You connected, you wanted to do something as a church to help some mission project, and they got in contact with Leisner, and you ended up going to Haiti in 2008, and you built a couple houses there. And that was kind of the early beginnings of this Share Haiti mission. And so they built a couple houses there, and then in 2010, they had that big earthquake in Haiti. It was really a devastation to the country. It kind of slowed things down, and then in 2011, several of us went down looking for a vehicle for Leisner, and so you can get around. And that kind of the doors opened up for us to help there with the rebuilding and give us all kinds of opportunities to help, especially Leisner's people, which was Cote d'Ivoire. That's on the south shore of Haiti. We're about 5 to 6 hours south west of Port-au-Prince. So so in 2012, a six-member board was formed, three from Prairie Chapel and three from Cedar Crest. The two churches together made a six-man board, and and I think some of you are here from the Nate, were you the original board? So you might know a little more history than what I do. I didn't serve on the board start with, but as that board was formed, we needed a name, and they come up with the term Share Haiti. If you notice, they put the Share and put a cross together, and then put Share and then Haiti, and that the word Share stands for the mission of what they do, serving Haiti by aiding, rebuilding, and evangelizing. And the mission statement we come up with was sharing the love of Christ with hearts attentive to both the spiritual and physical cries of the needy, focused on building strong families and self-sustaining communities through biblical teaching. So kind of, we're trying to kind of stick with that in our work there. And so with the pandemic and then the unrest in the country really made our work a little bit more difficult as a board to know just exactly how to proceed forward with things, with the work there. And yet, through it all, Leisner is quite a pioneer there in Haiti. He kind of has a way to, he says, it's not so much what I know, it's who I know. I know people in high places. And with the fuel shortage that took place there a year and a half ago, fuel was going up there $30 to $40 a gallon. And we needed fuel to run our generators and keep things going. Well, he had stockpiled some fuel. I asked him where. He said, well, it was here and there all over in the community. So we really don't know where he stores all the fuel. But it got us through there where we didn't have to buy much fuel at that expense. I think the most we paid was around $8 a gallon. So, but everything, the fuel prices and the shortages just put the prices up. Anyway, with all this being said and how the beginning of Share Haiti, how it started, we're very dependent on Leisner and Dorothea. And they're our kingpin, which is who we kind of depend on. We're up here in America, and we connect with him, and he's been very good to work with. We appreciate him a lot. He's a genuine born-again Christian, we feel like, and he's sensitive to what we want to do once he understands it. sometimes there's a little barrier there, kind of, oh, okay. He's trying to figure out how us Americans reason, and usually if he catches that on, he appreciates a lot of good things that he's learned up here in America. And I see he's putting that into play at the school and also at the church. So, as was mentioned earlier, we've been talking about school. School is our main work there. But about a year and a half ago, a church was organized, and he wanted our blessing on that. That we didn't really know how to proceed with this. We pondered that for a while, and they came up with a creedal statement, and we looked at that and said, yeah, this is something we can support. So that started about the fall of 21. So our concern is, you know, our connection is with Leisner, and as time goes on, who's going to be in charge of this the next 20 years after Leisner's not here? We're trying to get a support team around him, and that's been kind of a challenge just to think through. But the church does have a team of pastors. Carnesian and Jones and Alvarez. And they also have a lady that helps take care of the children's ministries. And so we don't see them very often. Last time we were in Haiti, I think Darren and Jenny and Yvette and myself were down there. We met with them and kind of talked about the structure, and we were a little concerned. We know Leister, he's tremendous in leading out and getting things done. We just weren't sure where his gifts are all at in administrative and working with people and the peers. So we had conversations along that line, and so he's turned this kind of over to these brethren for church. Although he's involved with the church administration, but that church has been growing. They have services on Sunday morning, and then Monday evenings and Wednesday evenings. And the attendance is, he told me today, attendance is about equal, 50 adults and from 50 to 70 children attend that. So they have special sessions for the children, and 3 to 4 teachers from the school come in. They attend school church there, and they read Bible stories to them, and memorize Bible verses and Bible chapters, whole chapters that they memorize. And also, they take these youngsters and just sit down and teach them social skills, something that's not really taught there, and just how to take care of themselves, how to have good manners and be courteous. Teach the boys how to be men and girls how to be women, how to adapt to society there, and how to fit into a community that kind of coincides with what we're trying to teach in school as well. Raise the bar of their standard there. So he says that goes quite well. He said it is kind of interesting. In school, they always have a prayer before they eat. Well, where these children come from, they go home and they don't pray before they eat. But these children tell mom and dad, said, no, we pray before we eat. So it's always good to pray. The parents come to school and they tell listeners that, well, we're praying now before we eat. We just never thought about that, doing that. And so it's kind of rubbing off to the parents there. So that, yeah, we have our challenges. We have our work cut out. We're not real sure exactly how the future looks here. But I feel like it's pretty important that we build a team around Leisner. And that means that we have to have more Haitians that can speak English, or us Americans that speak Creole or understand it, that's a kind of a challenge. So our mission is supported. We go to 7 auctions, the Haiti benefit auctions, the large auctions. They're held in 7 different states. So we have been approved, and we get approval every year that if we go there and we give them a report of a budget numbers and show them where the money is going and what we're doing with that, then they give us approval for the next year. We have to do that on a yearly basis. So that has helped. We get quite a good funding from them. As was said before, no time's running out here, so we just want to say thank you to you as a church here at Center. You have some close ties here to the mission. Actually, family. Dorothea's sister attends here, and of course, a lot of cousins here. So we thank you for your support, especially the fundraiser. A lot of fun, and brings community together as well. And not to overlook that Lowell's helped us out quite a bit. Leisner, he thinks Lowell's quite special with his teaching abilities. So he always begs to see if Lowell couldn't come down. And sometimes we can catch him early enough, and sometimes we don't, because he's scheduled out a little ways. So we do appreciate what he does bring to our seminars. We need a lot of good teaching, a lot of solid biblical teaching on marriage and family structure and a lot of things that go along with that. So if you have any questions, go ahead.
Have you sent any board members down for language training?
No. We're trying to, when we had couples down there, we tried to have an English class, and they still have an English class per se now, but it's pretty limited in school for them to learn English. But turn that around, are we trying to learn the language of Creole? I'm not, but I think it'd be a good idea. You have any ideas on that? Why, you let us know. I'm sure there are courses out there, and we've played around with some of those programs you get on the phone. Yeah. That's right. Good point. Anyone else?
I assume you have a well on the prop, the 5-acre property to irrigate, or does it rain there?
It's, we don't have a well on our property. There's a well close by. We have an irrigation well in Cote d'Ivoire. Lilway's a real good well. It's like 200-300 gallons a minute that it pumps. And that well supplies water, drops it off, I'd say northwest of the school. And we get some water from that. But there's also a well close to Cote d'Ivoire there. Water's kind of hard to find there. And it gets quite dry. But in a cistern. We have a big cistern at school, and Leisner has a large cistern as well. And that is something we're contemplating also putting a cistern for the grade school. And we try to gather all the water and use that. They use that for the garden some when it gets dry. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for your time. Thanks for your interest, and Lord's blessings to you.